Hello and welcome to this edition of the Align IT Manager Tech Talk. I'm Ruth Morton and this is my colleague Jonathan.
Hello everyone, and special edition today straight from Tech Days Vancouver.
Yeah. So welcome everyone, and we're actually sorry that you can't be here in person with us. We do have a live audience that are coming in with their lunches and eating their lunches with us, and I'm hoping we'll give us some great questions. I'm looking at you guys.
Absolutely. More questions, the better.
Usually we just do this online. So we also have somebody, you'll notice that Jonathan and I don't have our usual computer in front of us, so we have somebody that's monitoring the online chat, and that's my colleague Rick, and he will make sure that any questions you have get asked to us and we can answer them online.
Absolutely.
So today we have a really interesting topic. Usually we kind of focus on one specific technology or another, but today we're talking about the future of IT. And we have a very special guest here, Mary Jo Foley. Thank you so much for coming up and talking with us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Mary Jo has been covering the tech industry for about 20 years, 25 years, something.
Yeah.
A good long
give
time.
Give or take.
What did you do? Start when you were five, you know? And she has been covering mostly Microsoft for all of that time. She has a blog called All About Microsoft. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's funny, I call it ZNet because we say Z for, or Z for Z, mm-hmm. but actually it's ZDNet, isn't
right.
it?
ZDNet.
ZDNet. Yep. So you can check her out there. And so when you started, were you technical? How did you get into this?
Not at all, actually, Ruth.
Yeah.
I started out as a journalist, and I didn't have any technical background whatsoever. And I actually started covering Microsoft way back in 1984. That was the very first time I interviewed Bill Gates.
Nice.
So
what operating system was in 1984?
Man, that was some early.
I don't even remember.
Yeah, I actually was using CPM.
Okay.
Because we had really early PCs at that point.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
that's good. And
I love how we're talking about like the super past
in the future
of IT.
Exactly. Wait, what is the topic again?
Just checking to make sure that I'm at the right show.
Yeah. So I mean, so you've been covering for a long time, and just think of 1984. I was actually trying to think. What was going on in 1984? Was the PS1 out then? Was OS2 mm-hmm. out? I'm missing my dates, but there's been so many changes since that time. And one of the things when we started looking at this topic, one of the things I want to ask you, like, how do you, as a tech reporter, keep up on? I mean, granted, you just cover one company, but wow, Microsoft is into all sorts of things. How do you keep up on the latest stuff? I can't do it, and I'm an employee.
Yeah, it's very challenging. But I think just the fact that I've been doing this so long helps a lot, because I have a lot of sources who I've known since almost the beginning. You know, people who work at Microsoft, partners, even some competitors of Microsoft, they all kind of help fill me in. And then now there are tools like Twitter, RSS, that make doing this job a lot easier than it used to be.
Yeah.
So I'm on Twitter all day. Like, first thing I start my day, turn on Twitter, just start seeing what's going on out there, what's happening with Microsoft, and makes it a little easier.
So you're not intimidated by the whole future of IT topic title today, that your like eyes are on you, get your magic ball out. I understand you had an incident at the border when you were crossing.
I did, yesterday at the border. when I was showing my documents to the border crossing guard, he said, wow, you're going to talk about the future of IT tomorrow? So what is the future of IT? And I said,
let me see.
You want me to answer this now while I'm crossing the border? And he said, nah, I'm actually running Windows 95, so I don't really care because I'm stuck. I'd love to know about the future of IT, but I'm stuck on Windows 95.
Yeah, and there's a number of companies out there that are struggling to keep up, right?
Right.
And how can an IT department and somebody, especially those leading the IT charge, how can they, you don't know what you don't know. How can they, what's the best way for them to kind of try to plan for the future, make sure that they're investing in the right things, and yet not put money towards a direction or technology that may not add to the bottom line, may not give them that competitive advantage they need in their business.
That's the $64,000 question, right?
Yeah. Come on, tell us the secret. I know, right? The secret sauce.
Well, you know, one thing, it's kind of the same thing when you cover technology too. You don't want to kind of be led down false paths.
Absolutely.
You know, what the hype is, and don't put too much time into covering things that, you know, everybody may be interested in Silicon Valley and the startup community, but that doesn't actually matter as much maybe to an IT manager. What I try to do is kind of listen early for clues, because sometimes you hear clues that later may make more sense. And I'm thinking like a year ago when this whole thing happened around Silverlight at Microsoft, and Bob Muglia said, you know, who was the former head of the server and tools business, he said, our strategy with Silverlight has shifted. And I remember thinking, this is important, you know, but it wasn't like a fully developed strategy yet at that point. But I think when you listen early for those kind of key shifts in direction or new product roadmap sometimes, that you're like, oh, this is something that's going to be big, maybe in 5 years or 2 years, you know, and yeah, it may not be big now, but just kind of keep your eyes open for things when they're starting out early, and monitor as they go forward how things are changing.
So actually, following that, we just finished a session called Introduction to Windows Azure, mm-hmm. right? And I think as people were looking at me and from the crowd and stuff like that, you know, here we are talking about cloud, and you know, on the one side you're like, oh, it's the next biggest thing. Some people are like, no, it's just hype and stuff like that. So following that logic, and you're saying, okay, so what do we look for? From what you see, is it actually that next big thing? Is it going to be transforming the industry, or is it just, you know, people out there saying, yeah, it's hype, and that's what it is?
I think, you know, the cloud is really interesting when I think about how questions come into me on my blog, because I have a contact form, and people tweet me a lot, and they send me email. And at the beginning, when Microsoft was rolling out Azure, people were kind of like, yeah, it's interesting, but not that interesting. Like, someday, like, way down there, I'm going to move to Azure. And in the past year, suddenly, there's been this weird shift.
Right.
And I think a lot of it is happening because of Office 365, actually.
Okay.
Like, a lot of people are like, wow, should I try that? What do you think? Like, you know, I was thinking about going Google Apps, but this actually sounds like something that might be better for my business because I already am a Microsoft shop, or,
right,
you know, I've already used Exchange. And it feels as though Office 365 is getting people who might not have been ready to move to the public cloud to start thinking about that.
Yeah.
And so the whole pace of reader interest and curiosity around that has really, really picked up way more quickly than I thought it would, say, even a year ago.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And I think, do you think it helps that, I mean, it's not just Microsoft doing it, mm-hmm. that other companies are coming out, and everyone kind of sees the opportunities mm-hmm. That can be in the cloud?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's interesting. So Office 365 seems to be a big driver to open people's minds. What about, can you speak to, you know, what are developers seeing or saying to you as far as Azure mm-hmm. is concerned? What are you hearing?
Well, it's interesting on the developer side of the equation. You know, I think when Microsoft moved Scott Guthrie, you know, Mr. Silverlight, over to Azure, a lot of people got pretty excited because they said, oh, good, that means Microsoft is really thinking hard about what is the tooling story for our cloud platform. Because, you know, right now when you ask Microsoft that, they're like, yeah, .NET, it's the same story as it is on premises. But I think people are really interested to see, what are you going to do for the cloud? What's going to be different there, you know? And because Scott has such a big reputation at Microsoft and beyond Microsoft, I think people are expecting some pretty big things as he gets his whole game plan rolling. And in the, I'd say the next 12 months, we're probably going to hear a lot of things.
Definitely excitement coming up in the next 12 months. So definitely stay tuned to that, by the way.
And speaking of actually developers, let's flip into actually talking about phone, because I mean, we don't have the market share that we'd like to see. It's low market share. But what do you think are the strengths of the phone platform, and kind of where do you think we're going to land? What are you hearing? What do you think?
Yeah, I have to say, before I say anything on this, I am a huge Windows Phone fan. I should be an evangelist in a way for Windows Phone, because I should have gotten her
one of these, Reg.
I know. I have one, and I take it around with me everywhere in New York, and I'm always demoing it for people. Because people see it and they say, what is that?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people don't really know what it is. They know it's something different. They see the interface and they're like, what? That's not an iPhone, is it? So I'm really bullish about the platform, and I really want it to take off. But there are some really formidable challenges for Microsoft in this, because I feel like a lot of the challenges aren't so much technical challenges as they are marketing challenges. I mean, when I went to buy my Windows phone, I went into a Verizon store, a big one in New York. I walked in and I said, I want to buy a Windows phone. And the guy said to me, no, you don't.
Oh, no.
No, he didn't.
Oh, no. And I had to fight with him to buy one.
And like, what was the reasoning?
He said, no, you want an iPhone. That's what everyone gets.
Ouch.
I know. And
okay.
I think as Microsoft, you know, Microsoft has said they're going to be spending a lot more money to evangelize the phone, market the phone. And then when Nokia finally comes to the U.S. in the early part of next year, I think that'll help a lot. I was just at Nokia World a couple of weeks ago, and I was walking around London, and I stopped dead in my tracks because I couldn't believe when I saw these giant Windows phone ads that you never, ever see in the States.
Right.
And I was like, wow. Windows phone ads. So it was exciting. And I thought, you know, if they can bring some of that excitement that they have there to, you know, North America, I think it really could start boosting the platform quite a bit.
Now, are you a big apps person? Because one of the things that I always get is everybody says, well, you know what, we're not going to switch over to the Windows phone because there isn't the apps on there. Right, you know, the iTunes store has 400,000 apps or whatever, and the Windows marketplace has 20,000 or 30,000.
Right.
You, as being someone who is actively using the phone, do you find that when you need an app, you can't find what you're looking for?
I'm not a big app person. I'm on my PC even. I'm not a big app person. As long as the core set of apps are there, and Microsoft's done a lot of studies showing, you know, we have the whatever 10 or 20 most popular apps that are on all the phone platforms. We have those too. The only thing I really miss are local apps. Like in New York, you know, if you have an iPhone, you can go to the Metropolitan Museum of Art and, like, use this really cool app they have. And there's nothing like that for Windows Phone.
Yeah. So. But I think that if we can perhaps solve the consumer piece, then developers see that there's the mind share and that'll come. Because I was this week, I think, on Monday or... Is today Tuesday?
Yeah. Today is Tuesday.
Sorry, too much
it
trouble.
It has been a long week, but today is Tuesday.
There was an article that came out saying how in developers' minds that we'd actually moved into third place. So we'd kind of leaped over RIM, who's struggling a bit now. And, you know, Android, iPhone, iTunes, iPhone, and then us.
Yeah.
So that was exciting to see. And Because we're biased. It's nice hearing it from you as well that it's a good platform. I know we have the development ecosystem behind us. It just all has to come together.
Exactly. So. Yeah. I mean, the developers who I've met, and I know quite a few Windows Phone developers, they're so excited about the platform. I mean, I always feel like if you could just grab that developer excitement and get consumers as excited, it'll work. You know.
Yeah.
Were you there for that big phone event?
I was.
And?
In New York.
How was it?
It was odd.
there was a six-story Windows phone in the middle of Herald Square, right?
Yeah. And it was funny because, you know, people who were going to Macy's and walking around Midtown, they were like, what is that thing? You know, and they were coming to see, you know, what is it? And Microsoft did a lot of presentations. They were showing the live tiles, which a lot of people have never seen, and they're like, wow, that's actually kind of cool, you know, that's different. I like that, and I've been saying lately, you know, Apple's kind of co-opted the whole think different idea, you know. But if you look at Windows Phone, that's the real phone that's different.
Right.
It's the one without all the rows of icons, right?
Yes.
And I always say, if you want to be somebody different or stand out, I would think you would go with Windows Phone more than the other platforms.
Yeah. So then it also brings us to the conversation of, okay. So we win the hearts of consumers, and then developers make all these great apps for our phone.
Oh, here comes
the infrastructure
side. I was waiting. I'm like, Ruth, you waited this long to stick in some infrastructure
stuff? I know. I've been pretty good. You know, we want to get the whole picture. So what is it going to take for companies to embrace these new types of devices, phones, et cetera, and so that they're to embrace it and make their users more productive? What do we have to do?
Infrastructure guys.
The infrastructure. Yeah.
The enablers.
Yeah, to enable all this cool stuff.
Can you tell? Infrastructure,
yes.
Developer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What has to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think one really interesting thing that's about to happen is System Center. And some of the new things that are coming in System Center 2012, where you can manage devices that are not Windows-based devices. So manage your iPad, manage your iPhone, manage your Android phone. I think once companies who've been reticent to let users bring their own devices in, kind of fighting that whole consumerization trend as much as they can, once they see that you can manage these devices and kind of keep them, you know, manage them, secure them, make sure that people aren't running amok and bringing viruses into the company, I think that's going to help kickstart a lot of the growth there, too.
I think you're right. The age-old discussion of control versus flexibility to do your job and think outside the box and stuff. System Center, lots of new stuff coming up with System Center. Yeah. I know we're doing a number of sessions here at Tech Days. There's a lot of excitement around System Center. There's also, I think, a lot of, confusion, puzzlement. We have a great session here, actually, the two of the guys are doing about putting the pieces together, System Center, because there are so many pieces. What are some of the common questions you get as far as System Center is concerned?
There are a ton of pieces, and it's even hard for me. I have a chart in my office that lists all the different products and where they are and the beta and the RTM cycle and the code name.
And here it was. I thought it was just me that did that. But
it's so confusing, you know, and a lot of times users will be like, well, what's the difference between Config Manager and Operations Manager? You know, because to them it's just like this blur. There's like a bunch of things called System Center, but like what do all these things do, right?
And it's so powerful. I mean, to be able to, you know, configure and maintain what you've got, as well as push out your new stuff, see what everything's doing, anticipate where the problems are going to be. It's such a powerful product. And,
you know, the other one that my readers have been really, I didn't think they would be that excited about this one, but when Microsoft came out with Windows Intune, they went crazy. And a lot of people, I think, are starting to make the connection that, you know, how Microsoft has on-premises products and they always have a cloud complement to every one. And now people are figuring out, oh, System Center is the on-premises brand and Intune is the cloud complement to that.
Yeah.
And now they're really looking at it in a different way and saying, oh, that's interesting. And it's really interesting that you can get benefits that you only could get before by signing up for software assurance with Windows Intune. It's like a little added bonus in there. And a lot of smaller companies who don't want to pay for software assurance are coming in and getting Windows Intune.
Right, right.
So a lot of interest there.
Cool.
So we're talking about all these different parts. And so here I'm thinking, okay, so we have all the different products. And even Scott was talking about it earlier in the keynote about finally piecing everything together to make sense. What are people asking you in terms of, okay, so we kind of get the products, but how do we get our minds around putting it all together? Like, what do we need to know to do that?
Or where do they go?
Or where do we go? Right.
You know, you say you have this great poster or sheet of paper. Did you put that together yourself?
I did. I did. Yeah, I know. It's really interesting.
And are you going to share it?
I should. Yeah, I actually, you know, a while ago, maybe like 2 years ago, Microsoft was much bigger than they are now on sharing roadmaps. And, you know, you used to go to, say, the partner show, and you'd see all these roadmaps for all the different products, and you're like, oh, okay, now I know what's coming when. But there's been a real move inside Microsoft in the past year plus towards more secrecy around the roadmap. So I'm always trying to build roadmaps myself based on tips and things that I find out. And so I have a whole other sheet of papers in my office that are the roadmaps. And then I also do this thing I call the codename tracker. And so I keep a running tab of all the different codenames at Microsoft and try to watch.
You were just actually tweeting about that the other day.
Yeah. I was, yeah. I mean, it's a really good reference. And my boss said to me, you know, why don't you publish that? Like, let's make that available to readers. Let's see if anybody wants it. And wow, they really do want it. And they've even asked me to turn it into a Windows 7 app, Windows Phone 7 app.
Awesome.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah,
actually.
I know.
I would use it.
I know. I've got two volunteers already.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I would use it all the time.
We'll look for that.
Yeah.
That's a fun one. So what do you think the next exciting thing to come out of Microsoft is going to be?
Well, I can't even tell you how interested I am to see what happens with Windows 8. I was at the Build conference this year, and so we got we all got to see an early developer preview of Windows 8, but there's so many parts of the Windows 8 story we don't know still. You may know them, but we don't know them.
Believe it or not, we don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm curious to see Windows 8 on ARM-based tablets and how that actually stacks up to what's out there now. Because, you know, I hear from my readers all the time, wow, Microsoft is so far behind in tablets. Like, they got to hurry up. Like, it's getting really late for them to have something to compete with the iPad. And I have an iPad, and Microsoft's always saying to me, what would it take for you to get rid of your iPad? So I'm kind of doing a wait and see, you know, and if Windows 8 on ARM is competitive in terms of, you know, form factor, battery life, price, I would get rid of my iPad because it would fit for me, since I'm a Windows ecosystem unto myself, it would be easier to have an
I think
have
that's
a
actually the first family. Time I've heard someone call themselves a Windows ecosystem.
I am an ecosystem.
I love it. And now, are you seeing that as a general trend, the trend towards the devices as opposed to your standard desk sort
yeah,
of?
Yeah, I am. And you know, I'm kind of at odds with Microsoft's official stance here because Microsoft's stance is tablets are just PCs. And I can tell you the way I use my iPad is really differently from how I use my PC. And so I want both devices, and I don't consider them a replacement device to another, and that's Microsoft's stance too. But I know a lot of people who are big tablet users or want to buy tablets, they are kind of more in my camp. And so they're interested, you know, why can't we have the Windows Phone operating system on the tablet? Would that be better? And so there are all these, you know, kind of hypothetical scenarios. You know, right. When is Microsoft going to put the Windows Phone, I mean the Windows 8 operating system or parts of it on the phone, and what will that look like? So people have a lot of questions about how is Windows 8 going to impact the overall ecosystem at Microsoft all across the board, gaming, PCs, management, everything.
Yeah.
And so that's next year that's going to be
It'll be interesting, and I must say, like, Jonathan and I will be just as excited to see it, too. And I want to encourage anyone that's interested to, you know, to take a look at Steve Sinofsky's blog post. Yep. That's how we how you can keep up to date on what's going on with Windows 8.
And there's actually also the forums as well. If you have any questions about, you know, what it is and certain features and stuff like that, there's the forums on there, best place to ask those questions. I know Steve and the team actually monitor that to see what comes on there, so definitely a good place to ask.
Yeah. So one of the things I did want to also ask you about was HTML5. Mm-hmm. There's lots of buzz happening. In fact, we have how many sessions here at Tech Day?
We got plenty.
I think we added some more based on feedback from Toronto here at Vancouver. There's a lot of people wanting to know about it. A lot of people starting to develop for it. Thoughts on HTML5? Is it going to be, you know, game-changing, industry-changing?
I think the Windows team wants it to be. That was a really clear message that came out of Build was we'll support a lot of different languages and platforms, but we're really kind of favoring HTML5, JavaScript, CSS. And so my readers are kind of torn on this one because there are people who are like, okay, that's the new direction, let's go learn HTML5. And then there are people who are like, no, I'm a Silverlight developer, and I am not doing this. And I am not going there. And the people who are on the Silverlight Windows Presentation Foundation camp, they say, you know, HTML5 is a toy. And you can't develop real apps if you aren't using Silverlight, WPF, and C++, C#. So I don't know. I feel like they're fighting a losing battle because I think it's going this way, and you kind of have to get on board. And I mean, Microsoft even is doing more and more, camps and webcasts and all, where, hey, if you know this in Silverlight, you might also know this in HTML5 because they're not so different, right? So, I don't know. I feel there's still a lot of resistance and anger and grief. All those, you know, five
change,
stages.
Change
of
is change hard. Is hard.
Absolutely, change
I don't know
hard.
How you can though be in this industry and not learn to embrace change, or you have a hernia or something, because it's just it's crazy. I know here actually in Canada we really believe in HTML. In fact, we have our
gift.
Own logo.
Oh, look at that!
Yeah, this is our HTML5 Canadian logo based on the HTML5 logo. And actually, this is a gift for you because today is your birthday.
It is.
Really?
And there you go.
Thank
you.
Hey, you guys feel like singing?
Should we sing?
If we start singing, are we going to be the only one singing? Are you guys going to join us?
I actually think if we start singing there, we're just going to cut the online feed.
Cut the online feed.
So how about this? We'll just say happy birthday and we'll get
everyone
to clap, right?
Thank you.
More importantly, thank you for joining us on your birthday.
Yes. It was awesome for me because I used to live in Seattle, actually, and I moved to New York 10 years ago, and I haven't gotten up here half as often as I would like to.
So and maybe we need to change that.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're not done yet, though. Okay. I want to make sure that we kind of pause. Now, we can't really see you guys very well because we got lights on our faces and stuff. But I want to give you a chance to ask Mary Jo questions, either about the stuff we've talked about or about stuff we haven't talked about that you would like to ask her. She's got a ton of experience. We've got Paul in the audience and Fred in the audience with mics so that we can hear what you're saying. As well, online audience, if you have something you want to ask, the chat window is being monitored. Rick is sitting there all gung-ho, and he will represent you here as well. So do we have questions from the audience? Any questions? I know you have questions. Go on.
Oh,
excellent.
Here
there's
we go.
A question
we got
over
one.
Here.
Hold
and
on,
then
we're
I think
coming.
There was another one. Was there another one over there?
There no? will okay. be by the time this one's
all right. If you could speak into the mic, that'd be great.
It's just an observation, but it seems to me that Microsoft has become developer-centric and not user-centric. And we're in a developer forum, so that's an obvious perspective. But it does seem to me that Windows 7 Phone is a good example, that it seems to be being promoted to the developer community far more than it's being promoted to the user community. And Apple on the other side, I mean, they built a tool that was for a user. It's not a tool for a developer. And it just seems to me that Microsoft is losing its way in with some of their products, that they are seem to be providing them or marketing towards the developers rather than the users.
It's an interesting observation.
It is.
Thoughts?
Yeah. It's funny because I hear from different readers who want Microsoft to be more a certain way than they are. So there are also some people who say, you know, Microsoft is trying to be a consumer company too much right now. And they forgot about the enterprise users, and they're just forgetting about us, and they're swinging too far the other way. They're too focused on, like, Xbox and Kinect and phone, and we want them to focus on System Center and SQL Server, you know. So I think it kind of depends on where you're coming in and looking at it from, too. But to your point, yeah, I know they're doing excellent outreach to developers with the phone. I mean, they're really going all out. And, yeah, a lot of consumers are like, hey, what about us? You know, when are we going to get the Nokia phones? You know, what other carriers are going to get different phones? And we feel like we're not getting the answers. So I think it's something where they've got to kind of strike a balance on across all of these things.
Yeah. I think we're learning as we go.
Yeah.
But, well, I mean, not in and of itself is the excitement of it, trying out different things to see where it works and then find ultimately that balance.
Mm-hmm. Do you have another question? Put your hand up.
I saw another question out here.
Is there another question? While you're thinking of questions, so speaking of Microsoft as a company and perceptions, what would be the top things that you're hearing from your readers that they would like Microsoft as a company to change or do to be better?
Mm-hmm. We talked about one already. That's a whole, like, let's hurry up more with the tablets. That comes out a lot from readers, like, what are they doing? Why are they waiting? You know, we can't wait till 2012. So that's one. I think another one that I hear a lot from my readers, and this is one that kind of comes and goes, is Microsoft should break itself up into more companies to be more agile.
That's an interesting one.
And, you know, because people are like, you know, it feels like the Office team is holding back the Windows team, or the Windows team is holding back the phone team, and it'd be better if they were all like lots of smaller companies, and then you could bring to market things like that Courier dual tablet, you know, that was going to come out for a while, and then Microsoft decided not to do that. So it is something that kind of comes and goes. And Steve Ballmer has said, whenever it comes up, no, we're not doing that. So next.
Yeah.
don't even think we're doing that. We're not. In fact, that even came up today.
Though. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an interesting.
It is.
So you were going to say it came up today in a.
In the shareholder, in Microsoft shareholder meeting was down in Bellevue today. And one of the people in the audience said, why don't you guys break up the company? And he said again, no, we're not doing that.
So, flat out, no.
Yeah. Well, you have to wonder, though, would it solve the problems or would it just create more problems?
I know. I kind of go back and forth. Like, for a while, I was thinking, they shouldn't do that. And then when I started thinking about the whole Courier thing, you know, which is that dual-screen tablet Microsoft had kind of contemplated doing, I was like, oh, well, what if that had been like a separate division at Microsoft and they didn't have to worry about, you know, does it run Exchange?
Yeah.
You know, would they have come out with that or not?
Yeah.
So it's an interesting kind of philosophical debate more than anything else.
I want to flip the question the other way and say, before we were talking about, you know, changes from Microsoft, now here's one change that we've tried to really do, and I wanted to see your take on it. openness and interoperability at Microsoft. Mm-hmm. One of the things that, you know, for the longest time it was like, you must use our stuff, you must use it this way.
Yeah.
And we've done, we're at least trying to do a really good job of sort of changing that perception to say, you know what, use it on your own terms, use whatever you want, in combination with our stuff. Are you seeing that come through, or, you know, from a perception perspective, are you seeing that sort of messaging come out?
Yeah. The whole Microsoft and open source, right?
Open source and interoperability.
So there's two pieces
there. You know, for a while it was, it felt like Microsoft, every time they did one step forward, they did two steps back around this. It was like they made a little progress, and then somebody would say something, or they'd file a lawsuit, and like it was like, oh, no, they hate open source. They're not interoperable. So I feel like it's changed, and now it's maybe two steps forward and one step back for Microsoft. Everything
hey, we're
they do,
progress.
I know
that's progress.
Yeah. One
I'll
step
consider
forward.
That progress. Yeah.
Like I was just thinking, you know, like the everything Microsoft did recently around there were a series of announcements about what they're going to do with Hortonworks around Hadoop. You know,
right.
And it, when I saw that, and Microsoft was going to send the changes back that they made to the Windows implementation of Hadoop back to the community, I was like, wow, okay, who would have ever thought this was something Microsoft would do? But then, you know, you have the whole Android patent lawsuits thing that keeps coming up over and over, and it's like, you know, whether you think Microsoft has a leg to stand on there or don't, and I feel like I don't really know because none of us have seen these patents, so we don't really know what Microsoft is showing people to get them to license the patents. But every time one of those suits comes up or Microsoft gets another company to sign, you hear, oh, Microsoft, they're just throwing their monopoly weight around and they're trying to kill Android and crush open source, you know. And I'm not a believer in that whole argument, but it's kind of the public perception and,
right.
and it kind of undoes some of the goodwill and all the good stuff that Microsoft's doing around making things more interoperable, getting, you know, more open source tools to work with Azure. And It's almost like every what you go further
sort of
ahead
working
and
in some areas and
it
maybe
is
not so
exactly.
So well in other areas
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have one question over here, and then actually probably it's our last question. Then we're going to have to wrap up.
I was reading about Windows 8 will impose on hardware keys, and my question is why Microsoft is doing this, and what will be the implications for end users?
Windows 8
hardware keys. Like
hardware keys?
Oh, I know what you mean. The UEFI and secure boot, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been a big controversy. You know, and something that's been blogged about a lot on the Building Windows 8 blog. And so Microsoft made one of the requirements for Windows 8 that you have to support secure boot if you're a PC maker. And so a lot of the people in the Linux community were afraid this was going to lock out the capability to dual boot Linux. And, you know, some people were like, well, too bad. It's Windows, and that's your tough luck. But one of my colleagues at ZDNet, Ed Bott, he's been going around and calling some of the PC makers and saying, so what are you going to do? And they're like, we're going to let users choose. We're going to have secure boot, and if you want to turn it off, you can.
Yeah.
And that's your choice. And so it's one of those things that kind of a molehill that got turned into a mountain, you know, like it got everybody riled up. And I think it's going to work out that it'll be a user choice kind of thing, and it won't be something that locks out Linux users. That's how it's sounding like it's going to evolve to me.
Well, it makes sense for, I mean, PC. The hardware manufacturers don't want to, make people choose.
But I think that's also a general trend that we're seeing in terms of it's sort of like everything on your terms. It's your choice.
Right. Yeah.
We're seeing
that
on the Azure side as well. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're on-premise, you're in the cloud, it's your choice.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right?
All right. Well, I'm going to, I'm the time cop, so I'm going to wrap this up. You guys have been really great.
Thank you very much for joining us.
And please join us for the next one. We'll be talking about training and certification in December. We actually do these
online casts.
We're using Ustream as our new platform. This is the first time we've done Ustream, but we do them on the second Thursday of every month. You can put it in your calendars. Join us noon Eastern. This one was kind of a special one because we were in Vancouver and at Tech Days, and we had access to Mary Jo. So,
well, and again, we wanted to make sure that it was on her birthday.
Yeah.
Right?
I did not know it was her birthday.
Birthday present to come up to Canada. There you go.
But
you wanted to come over more.
I did. It's nice. Get to spend your birthday in Vancouver. There's a lot worse places you could serve.
I agree.
Vancouver, it's beautiful today.
It is.
Especially today.
The weather's
perfect. I think somebody ordered this weather for you. Yeah. Anyways, thank you very much, Mary Jo.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right.
Thanks again for you guys joining us.